This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Nutrafol. We're happy to have them on board making the show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show you. Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking the traditional route. If these ovaries could talk, they'd tell you say. How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian. So gay. We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just
Hello.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Robin. Hi, guys.
Oh, my gosh. How are you doing, Jamie?
I'm good. Well, we're in...
All right, getting to our guests.
We are still in our self-isolated
Nobody's good, Jamie.
Quarantines day. I have no idea.
By the way, the only person who's good is Mary. Mary was designed for indoor living.
Really?
She plays video games. She doesn't go outside. She's having the time of her life. I have never seen anything
like
it.
I don't have a problem. I actually like staying. And I'm one of those people, too. Like, I could spend all day. And Anne has to go out at least a couple times a day.
I got to do something.
I have to do something. As long as I get exercise, and I can do that in my house. I don't need to go outside. It's just cooped up with my kids. It's killing me. Even just being with my kids 24/7 on day 2,998,000. That's what's killing me. And I love those little guys. I really do. But it's hard.
It's just the never endingness of it. It's the Groundhog's Day.
Every day.
Well, let's talk about something positive, right?
Okay.
A new lesbian movie came out this week. Ooh. on it's a documentary on Netflix called A Secret Love.
I can't wait to watch it.
I know. So it's basically, it's this couple whose relationship it's about their relationship starting from 1947 to present day. And they're like two ladies from the baseball league that was featured because in a league of their own.
The Peaches. I don't think it's the actual Rockford Peaches that they played for, but because I don't think that's a real team.
Yeah, probably not.
But I can't wait to see this. You knew. I mean, of course some of them were lesbians. They had to be.
I mean, come on now. 90% of them probably were. I mean,
exactly. And that's so funny because, you know, when we talked to Rosie O'Donnell, which if you haven't listened to our episode with her yet, you got to go back and listen.
Yeah. I mean, if you didn't, I mean, come on. It's Rosie O'Donnell. Go back.
She talked about this and she talked about how when she does the, what is the monologue she does?
Oh, it was like a coming out monologue. It was about like, I feel home like here with these people. She finally felt home. Yeah. Yeah.
And she did it one way, the first take. And then Penny Marshall, Robin, you have to do your impression.
Rosie, this is not a gay thing. By the way, that's my impression of Rosie doing an impression of Penny Marshall.
You should listen Thank to the you. Episode because actually Rosie Thank does you. A really good impression, but I really she enjoy does. Yours. I think you should do the whole episode, Robin, as Rosie doing Penny Marshall.
Yeah, I'm definitely. Wait, Helen, make a note of that.
Helen's
our fake producer. Helen, make a note. I'm going to do characters.
Yeah, the whole time. No, but so Penny Marshall argued this isn't a gay thing. And Rosie was like, it's totally gay. She's, Are you kidding
she's
me?
She's like, it's a coming out thing. She's like, it's the whole
this
thing.
Is a
it's
a coming out story. Thing. So just really well, interesting.
I haven't seen it yet. I tried to watch it last weekend, but I thought it was already out, but it wasn't out yet.
Yeah.
So I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I'm really excited. Really excited to see some gays from the old days.
Well, and before we get to our interview, we do have to say one thing.
Yes.
Our friends over, there's this organization called Tell Every Amazing Lady About Ovarian Cancer. And they wanted everyone to know that May 8th is World Ovarian Cancer Day.
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't know, they told us, is that there is no effective screening test for ovarian cancer. The pap smear does not test for ovarian
Crazy,
cancer. I didn't
right?
know that. Did you know
no,
that?
No, I didn't.
I just kind of assumed like my downstairs was getting swabbed and everything was fine. And I was being checked.
No, yeah, exactly. Now we have more things to worry about. That's good. But
yeah, great.
Also, as a fact to know, ovarian cancer is the leading cause of death from gynecologic cancers in the United States.
Yeah, you did. Good job, Jamie.
And it's the fifth leading cause of cancer death among U.S. women. That's scary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some awareness. Like, this is, we need some awareness around this. How do we not know this?
Well, they said that risk factors are increasing age, family or personal history of ovarian, breast, endometrial or colon cancer, uninterrupted ovulation, presence of gene mutations, especially the BRCA1 or the BRCA2 or Lynch.
So
those are like the cancer genes like you can be tested for. BRCA.
And if you have been affected by ovarian cancer in any way, we're sorry to hear that. But also please visit www.telleveryamazinglady.org for more information about ovarian cancer resources and programs, as well as information about the upcoming TEAL walks for ovarian cancer.
Yeah, and obviously, Jamie, we need to do that immediately since neither of us had any idea about anything.
No, now I'm afraid.
That should be our tagline. Two ladies who have no idea about anything.
Talking about everything.
but yet talking as if they do.
No, we don't act like we know.
No, we don't. Nah. That's the one thing that's good about us. We don't pretend like we know more.
My daughter is like, you always say, I don't know.
You're like, because I really don't. I really don't know. That's why.
I'm not afraid to just be like, I don't know. Ask Alexa.
Well, look it up.
By
the way,
Alexa.
We got a new router yesterday and our Alexa's unhooked and Henry tried to use the timer like three times today. I was like, we're going to have to do this old school. Like, you're going to have to write things down.
Know,
and it was like,
to.
I was like, I better fix
know,
that
so
shit
funny.
Immediately.
You're going to have to use your phone for your timer. Old school.
like it's 2017.
Oh, Alexa's changed our lives.
All right, folks.
Yeah. All right, so
don't forget about our Patreon community before we get into the interview. You can join us for all kinds of bonus content over there. We got some swag for joining.
And we started a new thing with Patreon. We have these new videos. We're videoing many of our episodes now, and they are available on Patreon for a specific level. So go over there.
Monday.
Yeah, if you want to see our talking heads via Zoom.
Nobody
check
wants
it
to
out.
See our talking heads.
They might. Well, why don't we put it in there?
Let's talk Ryan and Josh.
Ryan and Josh. Oh, the boys. So, little funny fact, Ryan is an old friend of mine. We both...
Is it funny that you had friends?
I haven't spoken to him in a long time because he lives in LA now. But he and I did two shows together. You'll hear about it. But we know each other from our performance days. He still performs. I don't. So sad.
But we're performing right now, Jamie.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. This couple, this sweet boy couple, they always do it better than us. They always do things better than us. They literally fed their baby during our interview and put her down for a nap in the middle of the interview. And it was like smooth and flawless, no problems.
But you know what's good about this interview is it's like, it's one of the, like, we don't always get adoption stories that are like smooth, easy sailing. And this is one of them. So this is a good one.
It's a really heartwarming one.
Should we have Helen roll the tape?
Roll that interview.
Helen, roll the tape.
Bring them in.
All right. Here we go.
Helen, bring them in.
Hello.
Hi, Ryan and Josh.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, guys. And hello. You guys don't know at home, but they have a baby on their laps.
Right now.
Right now.
And it's the cutest baby with cheeks that I want to pinch.
I can't even handle. What a little. Oh, she's.
What's her name?
Olivia. This is Olivia.
And she's 11 months old as of Friday.
And can you say.
2 days ago.
Can you say ba, ba, ba? You say ba, ba, ba?
She just smiles. She's performance anxiety.
Oh, my goodness.
Shy.
Well, we won't put her on the spot anymore, but thank you guys so much for joining us.
Yeah. I know.
Via Zoom.
Coronavirus time, you have two kids under the age of 3.
I don't know how you're doing
this. You're like, sure, I can do a podcast on Easter Sunday. No
Why
big deal.
Not?
Why not?
No big deal.
Why not?
Passover. No big deal.
I'm coming at you under my dome. I made a fort, so try to have good sound quality in case you're wondering what the hell I'm sitting on.
I had a feeling that's what it was.
I assumed it was a play fort left over, and you just thought to snuggle underneath it.
Dude, I'm not going to let my kids see this fort, because if they see this, this is all over. It's all done.
They've worn it all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's true.
And every time I'm recording, they'll try to come in and play in the fort. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. They
will. We can't have that.
They're never seeing this. No. So, hi, guys. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for coming.
And we are going to start where we always start, which is giving us your 30-second elevator pitch about your family.
Okay. But don't worry, guys.
Who's going, Josh?
We're not
going
to cut you off abruptly if you don't make it. Just you do you.
On your mark, get set, go.
Okay. I'm Josh. I'm a writer.
And I'm Ryan, and I'm an actor.
And a couple years ago, we moved from New York to Los Angeles so that we could continue pursuing our careers, but also so that we could start a family. We felt that it would be a less of a challenge, perhaps, with some more stability in Los Angeles. And that has luckily been the case. And in the past 2 years, we've adopted 2 girls.
Amazing.
You did it.
It was more about us than our children.
That was more about us than our children.
That's
but
right.
That's what this is, guys.
You have a whole podcast to hear about your children.
That's true. And how we came to these lovely girls.
Oh my goodness.
We all, our souls found each other.
Yes. No,
Ryan and Jamie, you guys know one another.
Yes. So Ryan and I,
right?
Ryan, what did we do together?
Well, we first met crossing over on Disney Cruise Line.
Oh,
so
yes.
We were in two separate casts. So my cast replaced the cast that Jamie was on.
Yes.
On the Disney Magic.
On the Disney Magic. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then several years later, we did like this
reading.
It was like a stage reading. So there were more than just like, show up, here's your script and read this.
Yeah, we rehearsed, but is that the one I played a scientist in? Is that what I was? Or I was like a...
You were a scientist?
I can't even remember what it was about.
Thanks, Robin. I can't.
The baby is literally eating Ryan's headphones. Like, literally eating Ryan's headphones.
Oh, Olivia.
Going really well.
Gosh, she's so precious.
Beautiful. She's so beautiful.
I cannot handle her face. I cannot handle that face. Oh my goodness. She loves me.
And our first baby is behind us on the bed, is our doggy, Wally.
You have a dog. So you had a dog first. Me too.
Yeah,
Why do we do that? Oh my God. But your dog seems like sweet.
He's very sweet
and he gives them kisses and he loves his little sisters very much.
So let's go into this. So you guys were living your lives in New York.
Yes.
You're on your way to fame.
You know, you're doing your thing.
You're going to live forever.
How long have you guys been together?
Almost 17 years.
That's a long time.
He was 25.
I was 25 and you were 23.
I was 23.
And
even early on, we both knew that we loved kids. Like, I worked with kids when I was in high school. Ryan was a manny before people knew what that word was even. So we truly knew that we always wanted to have kids. And we always knew also that we would adopt. We weren't for ourselves. Ooh, hey, baby. We weren't interested in doing surrogacy. And also Ryan's oldest sister is adopted. And so we just knew that that was going to be something we would look into, pursue yeah. at some point in our lives.
Can you delve into it? Like, yeah. why wasn't surrogacy? I mean, I yeah. see you have a personal tie to adoption, so that's a big yes. reason, I'm sure, for why you went yes. that route. But
yeah.
why not surrogacy? Because a lot of gay male couples go the surrogacy route.
They do.
I think part of it was financial.
Money.
Yeah.
That was it.
Part of it. I mean, not
how
that
big.
So what we did do was domestic private infant adoption. So that's not nothing either, but surrogacy, right. far as we were told, could run anywhere from $100,000 to $200,000.
Yes.
Yes.
That is very accurate.
And we knew that, you know, domestic adoption could run between $25,000 to $55,000. And so
which
that
is still a
which is still
just, a just isn't that funny. You're like $25,000 to $50,000, no big deal.
Yeah. and so that was a major consideration. But I don't think either of us now she's going after the lamp. This is, you know, I don't know how else to say it except that it was like, okay, well, then that's how we'll right. have a family. You know, like we weren't so tied to needing to be biologically related right. to mm-hmm. whoever our child would be that came to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it was just like, okay, you know, to put it aside wasn't a big sacrifice or, mm-hmm.
or
I don't know how else
or
to say it.
Consolation.
Yeah, or like, whatever.
Well, maybe we'll do this instead.
Right. It, biology just didn't matter.
No.
It didn't matter to us.
Not to us.
Yeah, not to us.
And I'm sure that's a lot in part due to the fact that, Ryan, you have an adopted sister, and you
yes.
know that it doesn't matter.
No.
Right. I mean,
I'm
assuming.
Did you have concerns about, like, you know, because the one thing about surrogacy versus adoption is there's a little bit more, and it may be not real, but perceived control over the time frame, you know, like it, so were you concerned that for adoption, I mean, there's war stories about adoption taking 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yes I don't think we were
that,
but
never really came up.
It never really came up, but what did start to become a reason behind moving in the way that we did was like our age.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. in other words, we started to go, oh, you know what, we should really kind of start moving on this just because of the math of it all. It was yeah. like, we want to be a certain age when our children are old enough that we can still enjoy their life with them.
Yeah.
And so that became a part of, okay, we really need to start looking into this. Yeah. And I do think at one point, I don't know if I ever said out loud, I think I might have, I would love to have kids by the time I was 40.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan was 42.
How old were you when you started talking about it?
Well, actually when we were still in New York, so 7 years now, we just decided we would go to, I think it was
the Gay and Lesbian
Center. The Gay and Lesbian Center mm-hmm.
in
New
York.
They mm-hmm. have
Pathways to
Parenthood. Or
yep.
Pathways. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we decided we would go to that and just kind of get a little lay of the land. And I remember the first time we were there and we were going around the room and people, you know, were telling their stories and stuff. And we're like, well, we're looking at adopting in like 5 years. So, and everyone's like, I've been trying to have kids for 5 years or however long,
yeah.
you know, like our story was just so different. But the one thing that I really remember was the woman who ran it always started every meeting and we had gone to two. She just said, if you want to be parents, you will be. That's it. It's going to happen.
You'll make it happen.
Mm-hmm. No matter what path it is, how long it takes, what you have to do to get there, it will happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really comforting. There were people there who are already parents mm-hmm. who talked about it, just showed up out of the kindness of their hearts, I think, for community. And yeah. the second time we went, they had someone from Help Us Adopt. Yeah, and I remember
but
our
attorney.
You could
apply for grants,
yeah.
and I remember that was something interesting that we hadn't heard about before.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's ever talked about the fact that there's grants for adoption.
Yeah.
I mean, we know about the tax credit, but I never heard anyone say there was grants.
We've heard of surrogacy grants and help for surrogacy, but we've never heard about adoption help.
Yeah.
It's a resource
for people.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
It's so nice. It's a nice guy.
Yeah, even if we don't know all the details since it's been a while, it should probably be a good resource. Hopefully for some folks
yeah.
who might be.
Well, it's yeah. a good reminder to people that they need to look into that before yes. they get things moving. That's,
right.
So that's
yes.
a great note for our listeners.
There were two very stressful points of the adoption?
The book that you make.
Yeah, and the book that you make.
We'll get to that because that was very important for us.
And we owe the book for
that your you sent to Birth Mothers.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
them to choose you. Yes. Yeah, we've heard a lot about these books, and that sounds like a whole
It's a whole thing.
That the other one was
the home study, the like, you know.
Easy peasy, easy peasy, at least for us.
We have heard that people have a hard time answering evasive questions.
Right. Or even just answering questions about themselves. Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was evasive. We were at a class for our home study about transracial adoption, and the woman doing the class was like, how are you with all these evasive questions they ask? I'm like, huh. Oh.
You're like, we're gay. People ask us invasive questions 24/7.
I know.
Yes. Well, and we're, I feel like as writers, as artists,
actor.
I mean, writer,
yeah. you're just open.
That's what you do is like everything.
You're like, please ask me more questions about myself.
Ask me more.
You're always having to say, why are you working on this? Why do you want to do this? What are you writing this about? Yeah.
So what emotions did you go through when creating this work?
So it was truly was very easy for us to have a stranger in our home asking us questions about our lives.
Right.
As is this like, right now.
I'm so glad you asked me that question. Thank you.
I told the social worker they do two separate interviews separately and then together. Mm-hmm. And I went first separate and I said, get your pencil ready because I'm an open book.
Yeah. It was a free therapy session.
Kind of was.
Not free though. We paid for that home.
Right.
Yeah. Are you ready to go lay down? Free. Are you ready to go lay down?
Hey, Jamie.
Hey.
You know, women don't often talk about thinning hair, but nearly half of all women experience it by as early as age 40.
Okay.
If you're one of them, Jamie, you know it can feel scary and stressful, which only adds to the problem.
Are you trying to tell me something, Robin?
No. I just wanted you to tell you about Nutrafol. You really shouldn't wait, Jamie, to start addressing early stages of thinning hair. Nutrafol is clinically shown to improve hair growth and thickness in 3 to 6 months. And you'll also be happy to know that Nutrafol is formulated with potent botanicals to help you grow your hair as strong as you are, Jamie. And it's physician formulated to be 100% drug free.
I actually thought my hair looked good.
Look, I know what you're thinking, Jamie. Okay. You don't want to put a bunch of chemicals in your body. Nutrafol is physician formulated to be 100% drug free. They use naturally clinically effective botanicals for better hair growth through whole body health. On top of thicker, stronger hair, Jamie, without lasers or chemicals, Nutrafol's ingredients may also help you, Jamie, get a handle on better sleep, stress, skin, nails, and libido, which I know you need help with, too.
Wow.
All you have to do, Jamie, because I know your time is limited with these little ones, is visit Nutrafol.com and take their hair wellness quiz for customized product recommendations that put the power to grow thicker, stronger hair back into your hands, Jamie.
Robin, I really feel like you're trying to tell me something. I mean, I know I experienced a bit of hair loss after pregnancy, but I thought it had all grown back.
Jamie, I just want you to keep your options open here.
Okay.
When you subscribe, Jamie, you'll receive monthly deliveries so you never miss a dose. Shipping is free and you can pause or cancel at any time.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'm thinking you should do this too, Robin. And actually for all of those out there who are experiencing hair loss or hair thinning, this is a good product for us.
Yeah, so, in all seriousness.
Guys, you can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and using promo code OCT to get 20% off. This is their best offer available anywhere.
Plus, free shipping on every order. Get 20% off Nutrafol.com, promo code OCT.
Their best offer anywhere. 20% off, guys, at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OCT.
Yes, it's their best offer anywhere. 20% off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OCT. For hair as strong as you are, Jamie.
Wow. You guys, you went through an agency or?
Yes. Once we moved to LA and kind of got like careers established, at least, mm-hmm. that's when we started to kind of kick up into gear the adoption process again, because we had started in New York to get just some details to start to hear what it would be like. And then I actually then went into grad school. Mm-hmm. That's when Ryan went on to the Disney cruise. Mm-hmm. And he actually did two cruise contracts. The second one, right before he moved here, was very specifically to save money for the adoption.
Yep.
And then when we started up with the process, I had worked on a TV show and made a friend. She told us that there was a straight couple who she knew and they had just adopted and that she would put us in touch with them. And so actually we did meet with them.
Yeah.
And they had told us about the attorney that we ended up working with. His name is David Radis. And he was actually somebody who I had already bookmarked when I did like my search for gay adoption lawyer California. He's been doing it for decades and decades, even specifically working with gays and lesbians, even back in the day when it was tough and people had to come across state lines and all that kind of stuff.
Smuggle babies in the middle of the night.
There was no smuggling in the of the baby. Let us not put out. Yeah, let us not put out.
It was just a harder time.
But it was a harder time.
Just what the gays need is a byline that we're stealing babies.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, maybe I'll take that part out.
But that was the 80s, so it was okay.
Funny, that was funny. That was funny.
HIV and stealing babies, the 80s. For the
right, that was the 80s for the gays and lesbians. And so we set up an appointment with him. It's a full 3 hours. And we said, can we tape this? And he said, sure. And he laid it all out.
We've heard about this from lawyers. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I mean, like things,
the drugs that you would want to know for. About that you want to test for. You don't have to worry about weed. You don't have to worry about cocaine. You have to be worried about this and that and that. And here's a number you can call. You can ask them questions about
what would this drug do to the fetus?
What would this drug do to the fetus?
Like saying the birth mother might be addicted to, let's say, meth. And you can call this number and say, what can this do to the unborn baby?
Yes.
He also birth told father termination, which is really
birth
complicated.
Birth father termination. Yep. And there's two types. There's presumed father and
the other
assumed. No.
I don't know.
But there's,
I'm not so sure father.
Yeah, there's like one where the father is in the picture. There's one where it's unknown, mm-hmm. but they both mm-hmm. have to be terminated. There was so much information, but all really good information. And mm-hmm. so
and I just want to stop you there because we've talked to some men who went through the adoption process and that information from the lawyer scared them so much that they were afraid to go that route. But you guys were not deterred by that. You appreciate the information?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. It was like, okay, good. It was like more information. I'm somebody who likes more information because the more information I have, I then feel like I'm prepared to make the best decision.
Uh-huh. And details. I mean, like,
details.
Like, right. He has this whole thing about when you meet the birth
mother,
you go to hug them. If they step back from you, she's protecting the fetus and it's not a match. If you hug her and she doesn't hug you back, that's fine.
That's okay. She's just apprehensive.
Yes.
She's also just like, don't touch me.
Right. And if you hug her and she hugs you back, that's a really good sign.
Right.
Oh,
wow.
So,
interesting.
I mean, he's been doing it for so long. He not only like knows, of course, all the legal business backwards and forwards, but he knows people's behavior. And one of the things he said was that if she doesn't, I think this is right. It feels weird to kind of put it out there, but the like, if she doesn't cry at some point during the meeting, then that's a bit of a red flag for him because it means that she's not necessarily processing all the emotions that go along with needing to go through placing a child for adoption.
Yeah, she's not really like 100% certain.
Wow.
Because there's a loss. So he said it had to be either with him. So you also take them to your social worker.
Or with the social worker. Or to the doctor. You take them to a doctor. And it's not that he was trying to make anybody cry.
No.
But just the fact that they are processing the emotions of how difficult this decision is and what it means is a positive sign that this will be something that this birth mom will be able to continue going through with.
Yeah, he's really sussed out every single situation that could possibly happen.
So is he the guy who found the baby for you?
He is. So,
okay.
But we did decide just for us, it was important that we kind of have as many essentially allies as possible, as many people around us who knew how this goes, right? Who could also point out any red flags. Because I think our biggest concern throughout the process was still even the financial aspect of it. you know, as all adoptions are, it can change up until the very last minute. And that is the mother's right. And they should always maintain that right, you know. Yeah. But the idea that it could change and then we would be out the money that we had spent, it was a really scary proposition to think, would we even be able to do this again?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, because of the money that we would have lost. It's just a fact of how it goes.
So we used our agency not just for the home study, but
for our own purposes as well. So we could talk to them whenever we wanted. Mm-hmm. They could talk to the birth mother for us. And it was the social worker who we were paired with at the agency, which is Vista Del Mar in Culver City. And they've been around for like 100+ years. And they do all types of family services.
Yes.
But they adoption.
Do
foster, yeah.
They do international adoption.
Did they help find the birth mother? Or no, they were just support services.
They can.
I don't. I guess the part I'm not understanding is, where did the lawyer find the birth mom?
Okay.
So, well, so we use both of them, just to put it out there. So we ended up going with adoption attorney and with an agency to help us find matches. Mm-hmm. And we also did all of the classes that we took, the Pathways to Parenthood, the transracial adoption class. We did all that through Vista Del Mar. And they were the ones who did our home study as well. So they had made a match for us at one point.
They did. We were
like they
in a
said,
potential match.
We were in a potential match, but because of that birth mom situation, we decided it wasn't for us. So we wouldn't be able to, you know, continue with it. So
that's
it
a tough like decision a, to make, though.
Yeah, it was.
We got situations from both the agency and the lawyer. And it was up to us when we would be presented with the birth mother's situation, whether or not we wanted to pursue it.
But we did get kind of a sheet of information about her, and then another sheet, and then another sheet that had basically the expenses, the breakdown of what the fees would be. And one of the things that with some of the first ones that we received that we weren't aware of as far as costs was some of the ones that came to us had an additional agency fee on top of it. So it was like the fee for the agency that the birth mom had contacted. So we were then paying an attorney, our agency, and then another agency.
And then her
fee.
Agency too?
Yeah.
That's like, a broker, another broker, and then the city. Like, you know,
right. So, I mean, it makes sense because those people who are doing that work, that is their job. That is how they get paid. But it was like, for us, this far exceeds what we are able to afford. Yeah. So we're not able to do those. And so in the one case he called us about, and that just didn't end up going far, but we did speak with that young woman. Yes, and then with the birth mom that we did end up being matched with, they both came directly to him. And so because they came directly to him, there was no additional fee. He called us on each of those occasions to say, hey, I have somebody who I think you need to speak with. Here's the information. And then we called and spoke with both of them and obviously ended up being matched.
So it's so complicated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and what's the time frame in all this?
I was just going to say the timeline is...
So we met with him in October, and then in January...
Ryan,
take it away,
So it was in February that we kind of kicked things off. We were like, yes, David, we'd like to work with you, and yes, Vista, we would like to work with you. Like,
here's your retainer.
And that was 2017 is when we kind of got the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And then how quickly to the you're being placed with your birth mother?
It was July.
Fast, July.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Even just to back it up a second, we had gotten the one from the agency that we decided that wasn't for us. Mm-hmm. And then we found out about the one birth mom from, was it David first?
Which birth mom?
Well, it was the same week. There were two at the same week. That's what was nuts, which I think is just an interesting, at least.
Oh, yeah. It happened all like at once.
Story to tell is that I think David, maybe, let's say David called us on Tuesday about their birth mom, about the birth mom we ended up working with. And then the agency called us about another birth mom.
Right.
And who was in Ohio. And so we were in this interesting situation where for a little while,
is it like dating? You can go out with both of them? And
that's what the social worker said, because we were really torn because both of these women had seen our book and wanted to then speak with us.
Right.
And so we felt that we had to speak with both of them.
But she never saw our book. We sent it to her after we spoke to her. We asked her if she wanted our book. She didn't choose us because she saw our book.
Who?
Our birth mom?
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right, that's true. We spoke with her, and then we said, would you like us to send you our book? And she said yes.
Yes.
Wow.
And then,
So David, I think, spoke with her about us.
Yeah, I think he told her about us. And then we had a conversation with her.
And we got off the phone and we were like, she's great.
Feels right.
It's like, she's great. Oh. Like, we loved her. We loved her energy. She was
funny.
There
was a connection.
Yeah.
There really was. It was maybe a 10-minute conversation.
Not a very long one.
But she was very open and honest. And, and we were laughing with her. And there was... truthfully, in that moment, something that was like, this, there's something here, and we like her.
And I just remember also during that time, like, we said, okay, can we send you our book? And she said yes, and she gave us her address, and we sent the book, and we were texting with her, and she said, I'm making my decision this weekend or something. Wow. You guys make me feel a lot better about it.
And there was some kind of connection there, like, from the get-go. Yeah.
There has to be, right?
There has to be.
So, because you had over to someone.
Yeah, because you also had conversations with other women and you didn't feel that connection. Yes. And then you just had this random conversation. It was like, there's something here. It's just something about that.
How far along was she at that point?
She was three months,
which is pretty early.
Some attorneys will not place until
the third trimester.
Mm-hmm. But David, I think one of his things or philosophies is that he will place early because then you get to create a bond together. We wanted that. One of the things that we knew that why we were open to an open adoption was because we wanted whoever this was going to be somebody who we would want to have in our lives in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, like
in some capacity,
whatever they wanted that to be, we were going to want that. So, you know, that just kind of connection was important. And, you know, their birth mom is somebody who we do, you know, still have in our lives.
It's almost like you had a surrogacy path with her, though, because you were with her so, like, it's almost early. Like you were with her doing, like, that seems rare in the adoption world, and that's so interesting.
I wanted to say something prior, just in terms of talking to a birth mother, because that is very nerve-wracking. Both our agency and David, the attorney, gave us the same guidelines about how to have a conversation with a stranger who you're
asking to take
know
their baby.
About to raise their child and,
and
be the parents of their child. And that was scary.
Yeah, it made us very, very nervous. I remember specifically David did, but I'm sure the agency did too. He kind of laid out how the conversation should go.
Like
it was very clear. It was like
Vista had a printout that I
also. And we just kind of followed that thing. And like it was always like you end with, you know, would you like us to send you your book? You know, like it was very clear.
You don't ask
like
specific questions.
Yeah, there are questions you don't bring up. You don't ask questions.
Kind of let them lead the conversation.
Yeah,
a little bit.
But it was pretty specific.
So you don't ask questions like, why don't you want this baby?
Right.
Like, stay away from things like that.
I almost think we didn't even. It's probably like one of them is like, you don't bring up the baby. Like,
you talk about yourself. Yeah, you talk about yourself.
Ask what they like to do.
It's too emotional. Yeah.
Yes. What kind of music do you like?
Yeah, we talked about kind of music and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's so hard because it's like you're talking around what's really happening. You know what I mean? It's like an elephant in the room in a way.
And the thing is, I feel like she always brought it up.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, it was nice that she was so honest and communicative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. About her feelings. I mean, throughout the whole process, up until the night before, or, you know, the day before. Yeah.
She was in the hospital.
In the hospital.
She was.
Yeah. Telling, you know.
We were very lucky.
We were very, very, very lucky. One of the first things she said when we met her, you know, we said, we're open. And she said, I would just like to know that the baby is happy and healthy and taken care of, and that I was a good friend in your life.
Oh, that's perfect.
And then we went into Applebee's in the bathroom and cried.
I
think this is it. Like,
so,
this is it.
This is it.
That's her. This is her. By December, had a healthy, happy baby and had, by then, a beautiful relationship with our birth mom. She would text us, and every time she texted us, we would always write back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it had to be hard for her, of course.
It had to be hard.
Yeah.
And it was, so then it did start to become, she would ask for pictures, which you were always happy to share. And it was kind of like we heard from her once a month. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of dropped out after May.
Did you proactively reach out to her, or were you just waiting for her?
We
kind of made the decision that that we would let her be in the driver's seat for any
right,
sort of
right.
Content. And there were some times that you did want to reach out. And I always said, no, like it always has to be on her terms.
Did you have a conversation with her about that? Like, did you guys know what the boundaries were, or you just kind of were going with your own?
We didn't do anything really specific.
But when she would write us, like she'll say, hey guys, you know, hope you're well, would love to see pictures of the girls. And we say, absolutely, anytime,
whenever
we're happy, whenever you want, we're happy to share them.
Yeah, because you don't want to send it, like, what if she's not in place to receive it, right? Yeah,
exactly. Never wanted to impose that.
So after about 6 months, she...
We just stopped hearing
from her, and we're like, maybe she's going through something, or it's too painful.
Or moved past it, and she's okay, and she just doesn't need to see them. And then out of the blue, we got, and this was 2 months before we were going to finalize Helena's adoption. So it takes...
In California,
it can take a while. Some places, it's like 3 weeks and you can be finalized. Mm-hmm. In California, at least in our experience, it's literally like to the day of their birth.
Wow.
But so we get a call from the attorney, and I'm like, oh no, why is he calling? You know, like, is there something wrong? And he calls to say that she's pregnant again, and she's looking to place and wants to know if we're interested. And I was like, wait. And now 6 months in, or 7 months in, we had started talking about wanting a sibling for Helena because, you know, the
universe heard you.
Yes. Like loud and clear. And, you know, we are close with our siblings and we wanted her to have the same experience. And there it was in front of us. And we didn't truly say yes right away because we were like, we are barely just through a year with Helena. Like, how soon could we do this whole process again? You know, like we had just finished our post-placement. You do post-placement
for
visits.
For six months
after the baby is placed with you. So to start the whole process again and kind of be back in that space was a real kind of question. But really what it came down to was we knew we wanted to have another, and we care a lot for their birth mom.
And we had done this together once.
We had done it together once. And she said she wants everything done exactly the same way. Same social worker, same lawyer, same hospital, doctor. Like, she had done it once. She knew she could do it again. You know, she knew what was going to be in front of her, and she knew that it would be all right. And she knew us.
And they would be together.
They would be together. And one of the things that I think can be something that is scary about the process, there is a lot of trust that goes involved with adoption because you are not there. You are, of course, the mother is their own free will person. Mm-hmm. And they are allowed to do whatever, of course, they please. But we were just very lucky. Even the nurses in the hospital said, you guys are so lucky to be adopting a baby. We didn't have to run any drug screens, any alcohol screens.
No, they ran them.
Oh, they ran them, but they were clear. Sorry.
Yeah. Right.
That's what it was. But that's what they were saying.
We don't have to. We can just tell she's a nice person.
No, but that's what they were saying. We did have a bit of like a surrogacy type relationship because even with Helena, her plan was to have us in the room.
Yeah.
And because of where she's located, it was a couple hours drive for us. And so that was essentially a possibility. You know, we said, look, whenever you tell us this is happening, we will get in a car and we will go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so although we weren't able to be in the room for Helena's birth, we actually did get to be in the room for Olivia's birth.
Aww.
And we were like holding her hands and breathing with her. And I cut the cord.
Oh my goodness.
And we saw Olivia being born. I mean,
Seriously, you had a surrogacy adoption experience. I can't get over it.
No, we were so blessed and lucky with the way it has happened for us.
And there were obstacles.
There was
our initial plan was to bring her here a month prior to her due date. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it was around the holidays and
yeah, it was going to be, she was going to have to be away from her family for Thanksgiving.
And so we're like, well, what if we drive you here? We were looking at hiring a midwife to be in the car.
Yeah. We were literally looking at the map, like Google Maps, looking at the two points and then typing in like search for hospitals.
On the way. And then what ended up being decided was that
she would stay where she was. She was like, I don't want to come. And we were like relieved.
In a way, yes.
In a way. I mean, I would say we were, I was relieved. Because I was like, well, the only great, because now there's one plan.
Yes.
Not two plans. Two plans. And not a plan that involves all that these crazy, like,
possibilities.
Once it was decided that that's what we were going to do, and we already had kind of an idea of what that plan B, the stay-at-home plan, was, yes, it was a relief. The anxiety around that, though, so David, our attorney, says, if you have the birth mother in here with you, the
away from where they are,
away from where they are, the percentage of them changing their mind drops to like 2 or 3%.
Whereas if they have the child where they live and they might be able to,
with the support system,
and might be influenced in a different way, it's like a 6 to 8% chance that they might change their mind.
Right.
You know, statistics matter, obviously.
Yeah.
We know that. But in this case, it didn't matter.
Every situation, just like every child, is unique and develops at their own way. Every birth mom situation, every situation with the adoptive parents is unique and different. And it's just going to not be exactly how they say it could be.
Well, that's every pregnancy.
First lesson in parenting, right there.
Right. Yeah. And it really was. That was a giant, that was like one of the biggest curveball where I remember at some point we were saying, why didn't anybody like tell us this? Why didn't anybody tell us that if it's out of state, then it's this and then it's that, and you just can't.
You know what I love about this story, though, is that we hear so many, I wouldn't say horror, but hardship stories.
Hardships. Adoption.
And this is, it isn't always that.
And such a feel-good story. And we need that right now.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. And I mean, and like Ryan said, there were hiccups. Yeah.
I think it's also just a testament to you guys. You both seem like really positive.
Yes.
Loving individual. Like, I want you to be my dads. But, you
know.
I'd be happy with that.
We
have heard that before. Actually, the social worker at the hospital, after Helena was born, she was like, I want you to be my parents.
Like, I think that's good.
But we have been doing this for 2.5 years now, which is hard to believe. We have now done like almost 80 interviews, and never has anyone sat down with a baby, like a young baby,
fed them.
And then in the middle of it, like when you were like, oh, we're probably going to go put her to sleep. And I was just like,
how's that going to happen?
What?
We were like, do they have like a nanny that's sleeping there? And you two are just like, there's a dog sleeping behind you.
He's showing us the sleeping baby in the monitor.
You're showing sleeping?
You're not panicked. Nobody's crying. Like, you put a baby down in the middle of this interview and kept talking.
Like, I'm not saying
speechless. This is unique to us, but I once took, this is gonna sound a little weird, I once took Helena to therapy with me when she was really little, and because my therapist is really great, he's really lovely, and I was like, yeah, she'll come with me. I forget, we might have been running errands. She was just with me for some reason, so I had to bring her. He was like, yeah, bring her, of course. So she like sat and like played with toys, and I think in the next time I saw him, he said something like, it was the most natural thing watching. And I say it only because you mentioned, like, but he was like, we had a whole session and you took care of that baby the entire time. Like, it was just second nature. Like, it was so.
Your child was eating your headphones and knocking lamps over and you did not even.
You guys were like, anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Amazing.
I don't know. It's just, I mean, I've taken her to a couple things too. I had a wig fitting for a show. She just.
Of course.
I was like, is it okay if I bring her? And they're like, I guess. And I'm like, she'll just sit in the stroller. How long is this going to take? And they're like, I don't know, like at 20 minutes, I'm like, okay, I'll just give her some snacks.
This is a really like nature nurture. Were these babies both so chill, or are you two just so chill, or is it all of the above?
I don't know.
Helena was absolutely chill. There's no question. I mean, we will look over and be like, where's Helena? And she's sitting at a chair and she has a pile of books and loves to read.
Books. Little sister.
Olivia is like, she'll chew on it and throw it. Like, they are like very happy.
They play together.
We dance constantly. Helena says very sweet things. Like, she'll say to the baby, she'll say, you're so cute, baby. You're so cute. And now we take our walks. And when we take our walks, she'll say, oh, look at the mountains. They're gorgeous. So like, and she said to Wally, the dog, the other day, I thought I was about to cry. We were like doing nighttime routine, And Wally was sitting there with us, and she said, let's pet Wally. I said, okay. So she was just petting Wally, and she said, you'll always be here, Wally.
Really?
And I was like, oh my God. Break my heart. You'll always be here, Wally.
In our hearts.
And I was like, yeah, you'll always be here, Wally. That's true. Yeah, you'll always be here.
I also have to say, Josh has never had a pet before.
I've never had a pet.
Oh, and that's
but I have
baby.
Always wanted a dog
yeah,
my entire
life. I grew up
I'm
with
still
dogs.
Dog crazy. Yeah. And I think like the way we treated and behaved with Wally, it's just being parents, nothing yes. else in my life feels more natural
right.
than mm. being a parent. A parent. Mm. Whether it's Wally the dog or our two beautiful girls, like
aww,
it's just it's not the thing I even have to think about,
yeah.
you know. Like, and again, it's something we knew all those years ago. We both wanted, which
yeah.
is why I, you know, I'm sure we stayed together and wanted to get married and be together all the time. And
yeah.
we've wanted the same thing, and this is kind of the major thing that we've both wanted. And
right.
it is still bizarre to me that we actually have it.
Right.
By the way, that doesn't change. My kids are 10 and 11, and Mary and I are like, can you believe we have kids? I'm like, is that so weird?
This has been just such a wonderful, wonderful story. What a great amazing. Conversation. Thank you yeah. so much.
Yes. For having us. Thanks yes. for having us.
Thank you so much for sharing.
You guys are awesome. You can okay. be my dads.
Yeah. Thank you.
If you yeah. want.
No, we're why not?
To.
And if you end up with a third child, please send us an addendum to your story so we can put it on the air. Okay? Great.
I
yeah, sure.
Sure,
yeah,
okay. That probably, yeah, no.
Thank you, guys. Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aww.
Oh, those guys. They're such good daddies.
They really are. Oh. I mean, just amazing.
That baby was so cute. I mean,
really, I know.
Up. Oh, oh, my no. God. Yeah, we got a nice feel-good story in the middle of some dark days.
Yes, we needed that. We definitely needed that. All right. Let's everybody remember we got a book coming out on September 22nd called If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family.
Mm-hmm.
And
on September 22nd.
Yeah. And let's keep this party going.
Yeah. So join us on the social. You can find us, Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Ovaries _ Talk on Insta, If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook. And you can also join our community there and you can talk to other listeners, which is always fun. You can also join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk for bonus content. You can also now subscribe to us on YouTube to catch up on our Ovaries Talk live streams, which happen
mm-hmm.
every Wednesday and Friday at 2 p.m. on Facebook
Eastern,
Live.
But if you Eastern miss time.
It, Eastern time. Eastern Daylight Time.
Oh, I can't with
right
Eastern
now.
Daylight Time.
Yeah, just learned that's a thing. My mom sent 3 more emails about how Eastern Daylight Time is a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We're not getting involved in that.
But anyway, you can join the 10 folks over on YouTube.
It's actually, by the way,
there.
When I wrote this, I thought it was 10. It's actually 8.
It's 9.
It's 8.
Oh, it's 8?
Yeah, it's a little sad. So maybe bring us up to 10 folks. Somebody follow us over there.
Or just join our Facebook Live at 2 p.m. because it's fun and... We have a good time.
Thank you to our sponsor, Nutrafol, for helping us make this show a possibility.
Thanks so
now,
much.
Now more than ever, thank you for being with us, Nutrafol.
Yes.
Guys, stay healthy, stay sane, stay away from everyone. Don't touch your face.
Don't touch your face. Stay happy. Helen, stop touching your face.
Helen, we are wrapping up.
Gosh, she's so bossy.
Helen, go have a cigarette.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Ow.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say... Ovaries out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.